Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for checking out another episode of the show. Today's features comedian Jeremy Helwig. We had a really good time recording this one the other night, hanging out in his basement, catching up. This is actually his first time on the show. Well, we've been buddies for a while through comedy, and it was fun to sit down and get his story and talk about some of his history and podcasting and local comedy here in St. Louis, and trying to get back out on the road now that shows are coming back. So we got some dates to plug. You'll hear about those. But I do want to remind you that Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you, as always, by Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler, located here in Maplewood, Missouri, right over on Manchester. Swing in the shop and grab some of your favorite all-natural, locally sourced beard oils, beard balms, junk powder, or one of my personal favorites, their Roughneck Beard Batter. Roughneck Beard Batter is the ultimate beard and skin moisturizer. It's a blend of 8 nutrient-rich soft oils whipped directly into unrefined shea butter for a moisturizing kick like no other. The highest amount of triglycerides and fatty acids available in the beard care market, hands down. World-renowned, but made right here in St. Louis. Again, you can swing by the shop or shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com and use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your purchase. It's a great way to support local business and keep this show going. So be sure to use that code RPP15 at checkout. Even if you don't have a beard, American Rambler's got you taken care of for all your grooming needs. You know, everything from combs to whatever you need. It's all there. It's all make you smell good, make you look good. And so check it all out. And do also big thank you to Heil Sound for their continued support and helping make this show sound great. Recording this intro on my PR40. I really love this microphone, and I think you would too. Check it all out at heilsound.com today and grab a brand new microphone. And if you'd like to continue to support the show, a great way to do so would be hit up the merch store. We have a new line of merch over there at buyjack.com/rockpaperpodcast, and there's a link on the website as well. And you can head over there and grab a t-shirt, one of the little Shaney shirts or a logo shirt, tank top, hats. We got a lot of great things over there, various colors and sizes. And it would mean a lot to me if you do that. To really appreciate everybody that's already done so and helped support this show. So thank you to all those out there rocking their little Shaney shirts. And also, if you haven't missed, missed the announcement, we're back with the Singer-Songwriter Storytelling Showcase, August 21st, at Focal Point in Maplewood, Missouri. Andy Sitto, Anthony J. Russo, Nick Gussman, and Karen Choi. Do not miss this event. It's going to be an incredible evening. Again, August 21st, Saturday night in Maplewood, Missouri at Focal Point. $11 tickets in advance will get you in the door. And it's going to be an intimate singer-songwriter showcase and listening room experience. Do not miss this. All right, that's it for me, everybody. If you need me, of course, you can find me at rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on the socials. Email me at rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com. And with all that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy this brand new episode with Jeremy Helwig.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, this is Jeremy Helwig of Sorry Please Continue and other things. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper. Paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast. Paper Podcast.
Double decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with Jeremy Helwig.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Excited. I'm excited to be here, man. This is cool. We've known each other a long time. We've definitely had many conversations and different things, but this is cool that you're finally making your first appearance on the show.
Yeah, it's been forever. I actually have an explanation, I think, of why it took so long.
Oh yeah.
So like early on in me doing stand up, I had this idea that like you don't ask for things, you just wait for people to ask you.
Sure.
And I think that comes out of like the way the Funny Bone does stuff. It's when you're new, it's like don't ever ask Matt for anything. Wait for him, which isn't even really how Matt works. That's just what they tell new people. And then you did ask me at some point, but that was when we were working on Fatal Bus Accident, and it was like, we would basically write a play every month or every mm-hmm. other month or whatever, and I think when you asked, it was like, the last couple weeks was always like, well, we meet Monday through Thursday, sometimes Friday, and then definitely Saturday, and then all day the day of the show, like, so then I was like, okay, I'll wait till I'm not busy. And then when we stopped Fatal Bus, we did like the finale of Fatal Bus Accident. I was like, oh, I'm going to record a stand-up album in like 6 months. Let's wait to talk to you and Molly Ambergy and anyone else that has a podcast. Like, that's when I need butts in the seat.
Right.
And then the pandemic happened, and now I'm like, oh, I'll probably do that next year. I should just do these podcasts.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that happens a lot with people. Like, I do get messages, emails come through like, hey, how did we get on the show? And I'm like,
just ask.
Like, I mean, like, I don't have some big list of specifications or anything, you know, just me and a microphone. I like to just hang out with my friends. And that's so it's just like, it's just funny to me when people think like it's some like elusive thing, and it's like, it's not. It's just,
you wouldn't have 900 episodes if you had to convince right. people to be on,
yeah,
you know? That'd be so much work.
Right. But so a lot of people do ask, but I like to, I'll also reach out when I see people working hard, doing something cool. And like, but that's my biggest thing is like, I want to help people that are working. I'm not going to do the work for you kind of thing, you know, but if you're out there, you know, hustling, I want to be a part of that. I want to help you out and highlight what you are doing. So, but yeah, anyway, it's just funny to me. Like, some of the, like, I don't know, I can go on and on, but there's some interesting emails I receive sometimes, like, and like some of my favorites though would be like the ones like, yeah, hey, I want to be on your show, and like, what's your show about, or something like that, you know, like that kind of thing.
I was
like,
gonna say, do people ever ask to be on it? I have no idea what it is.
Pretty much. Like,
I've had a couple people ask to be on Sorry Please Continue, which is our storytelling show, that don't at all know. It's like, well, okay, yes, you do storytelling, but like, we don't do like folklore. We do like personal autobiographical stories.
Right.
Because someone's like, oh, yeah, I've done so much storytelling, this, that, and the other. Like, what kind of story do you want? I'm like, something that happened to you. He's like, oh, really? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, so it's not like storytelling. I'm like, it's still, you're still telling a story.
Sure. Yeah.
That's only happened once, but it was so confusing.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it's this whole circuit of people that tell like folk stories and weird. I don't know. Like, it's this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's funny though. There's especially, putting yourself out there on the internet, you get, all kinds of interesting characters they'll find you. So, but yeah, man. So we, like I said, we've known each other a while, but I don't know a ton of your story or anything. And that's kind of what is fun about this, where we can kind of sit and have a nice conversation, kind of deep dive into some of these things. And, for where are you always from, St. Louis?
I grew up originally, I always thought it was Florissant, but it was like closer to like Blackjack up in like North County until about fifth grade. And then I moved to Fenton and I went to Rockwood Summit out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Truman up in, you know, northern Missouri. And I lived in China for a year. And then I've been slowly moving closer to the city every time I've moved since then, and now I'm in the city. So,
what took you to China?
The financial crisis happened, and I was like, I'm not gonna find a job with an interdisciplinary degree. Like, it's like not, you know, something that makes any, like, it's like a social sciences kind of thing. I'm like, I'm not gonna find a job. So, and I had been studying Chinese, and I'd been there on a study abroad, and so I was like, oh, I'll just go teach English for a year. That's a thing you can just do.
Yeah.
Which luckily I had a full ride at Truman, so like I didn't have any like student loans that I'd suddenly have to be paying. So it was like, oh, cool, I can go make like $1,000 a month. Plus they give me an apartment, and then I saved half of that. And at the end of the year, I had like $5,000 saved up, even though I traveled all the time. Like, it's like a great, I don't know if it's as easy to do now, because I think so many people did it, and so many people were probably shit at their job that they're like, okay, we need to crack down. You need like a teaching degree or whatever. But no, it was fun. We got to travel a bunch.
My buddy Alex did that for quite a while, and he really enjoyed it. And mm-hmm. I just feel like that would just be wild, man. It'd be the whole culture shock thing, you know, just like...
It is a huge shock at first.
Yeah.
Well, like, one of my friends, this guy Seth, who also went to Truman, he also did it that same year, but he was in a different city, and he'd never been to China before, and he showed up, and the H1N1, the, like, swine flu or whatever, like, scare was happening. And so he arrived at the airport by himself, and they made him take his shirt off to do, like, a temperature reading, and then, like, put him in a bus and, like, brought him to the dorm and were like, see ya. Oh, and then they were like, oh, it's National Day. We have an 8-day holiday. See you in 8 days.
Yeah.
And he had to just, he didn't really, like, know a lot of Chinese. He had to just find a way to find food.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, for me, it was like, oh, I speak some Chinese, and they like took us around to restaurants and stuff, so it wasn't that bad. But yeah, no, like, it's not particularly regulated, and it could be like extremely scary, like, yeah. Seth's case. yeah
I have a friend a similar situation with COVID, was like stuck over there, and you know, like, they weren't, you know, there was no travel in and out and stuff, so, or whatever, that kind of stuff like that. So he had a real hard time getting back home and things, and
that's rough.
Yeah, it was
you hear like nightmare stories about people getting stuck places, right. Or
I mean, obviously nobody saw a global pandemic happening and stuff. I mean, so it was kind of a crazy time to be in a different country and stuff, trying to get home. So,
oh yeah, I bet.
Yeah. But yeah, man. So what was your first introduction to comedy then? Was it TV shows or HBO specials or something? Or
There's a lot of stuff that I liked, but the thing that got me, I think, I'd been interested in writing and comedy stuff, but the thing that got me really into it, back in high school, one of my friends bought the DVDs for Mr. Show.
All right.
You ever seen Mr. Show?
Yeah.
So we watched all those, and then my friends Craig and Adam and I, and this was like between junior and senior, we decided that we were going to write a sketch show, like an hour-long sketch show, and we would pitch to the new drama teacher. This guy had never met us before, that we were going to do that for like the like winter play or whichever play. We're like, hey, we're going to write this script. And so like Adam walked in on like the second day of school and was like, hey, two of my friends and I want to write a play. Can we do that? And he was like, yeah, sure. And like nobody believed us that we would get it done. Like none of our friends. 2 months out, it didn't seem like it was going to get done. But we had like the you know how Mr. Show has all the transitions?
Right.
It's like we had live, and then we also had like a video projected on the wall. So we filmed some stuff so we could cut back and forth and do like smooth transitions like they did. And so like we did that. And then one of the actresses that was in it, she was, I think my year at Summit, her older brother did, what was it called? It was called like Improv City Improv. Yeah. Like Josh Arnold used to do that. Like some other like people, I don't know, like, yeah. Well, obviously more than one person did. This guy, he did City Improv, and he was like, oh, we're thinking about doing like a sketch group, but like no one's good at writing sketches. Like you guys should write sketches for us. And I was like, we should do that. And my friends were like, we are exhausted from making this play. And then we just didn't get back to them. And then years later, they're like, man, we should have contacted that guy. And I'm like, I wanted to contact that guy. We'd have been like the only like 17-year-olds in this like sketch group. But
right.
So then it was a while. And then in college, at Truman, you have to take a thing called a junior level interdisciplinary seminar, where like it's just some kind of interdisciplinary class. Some of them aren't really that, but like it's, there's one that was called the Art and Science of Humor, and you learned about like satire and like what laughter is and like physiologically and like stuff like that. And then instead of a final and instead of a midterm, you do like a stand-up performance, even though like the class wasn't at all about learning how to do that. It was just like, mm-hmm. Oh, and then you do 5 to 15 minutes of stand-up, which is a huge range for that big of a class. Sure. To all perform in one show. And I did that, and then I, and that was like 2007, and I did stand up like off and on. Like I did the Funny Bone like twice the next year over winter break. And I did a little bit at Comedy Etc. 2 over in Edwardsville. And then I count when I started the first time I went to Fitz's in late 2011. Cause that was when I was like, oh, I'm going to do like a bunch of open mics a week. Cause before that it was like sporadic. Sometimes people are like, oh, I've been doing comedy for 10 years. I'm like,
right.
I saw you twice over 6 of those years, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it sound better when you say more years and you're not that good, yeah, you know.
Sure. So.
See, I guess it was the two times I started were basically writing that sketch show and then doing that class.
Okay. Yeah, I know the series. I didn't watch it as much, but I do love Bob and David, and
oh, yeah.
And I love Run, Ronnie, Run, which is...
I still haven't seen that somehow.
It,
for someone that has seen that every episode of that show multiple times and has probably watched the audio commentary track of that show, yeah, at least twice, like before I graduated from high school.
Right.
I somehow didn't see the movie.
I would highly encourage you to do it because it is one of my favorite things. I quoted it yesterday. Like, it was one... You know, it's like... It's ridiculous. I don't even remember... Because I think, I feel like it was one of those, like, we just went to Blockbuster, which,
you know. You just randomly found it?
Yeah, like, it was one of the, like, because I remember I had a bunch of cameos from, you know, Jack Black and,
oh, yeah,
Brian Posehn and Patton Oswalt. I mean, a lot of these guys weren't who they are today,
yeah,
but they're just all their funny friends. And, I don't know, something about it, like, we was one of those things. We snagged it and went back and watched it, and like, and then we went back to school and talked about it with all of our friends, and then like the next weekend, all of our friends came over and watched it with it, and like it was like one of those you know, just organically growing cult classics among our friends. Everybody was like, "You guys just keep talking about this movie and quoting it all the time." So
that exact same thing with someone just seeing it at Blockbuster and grabbing it is what happened with Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh no, another
which is
great
now
one,
like,
yeah,
one of my favorite movies. Yeah. But, like, somewhere on this bookshelf, or maybe it's that bookshelf, I have the book of the, like, a couple unreleased screenplays that Bob and David wrote together.
Okay.
Because I went and saw, I have some friends who live in New York, and I went and saw them in New York. They did, like, a tour of, like, New York and, like, three other places. And it was, like, them and Brian Posehn and someone else back in, like, 2013 or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I've assigned... this book that was screenplays they wrote that never got made. I don't remember what it looks like. We have too many books. I'm never going to find it.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, that movie's ridiculous and, so funny. And, if anybody doesn't know, and, you should go check it out. Cause it's Ronnie is a character that I think it was a recurring,
yeah,
character
on the first series,
right?
And I think he popped up maybe one other time, right, but yeah, he was in the first episode, I think.
He's like this Joe Dirt looking, you know, like mullet and kind of white trash character that keeps getting arrested on their version of cops, which is called Fuzz.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make a whole movie about that. And like,
it's like the premise at least of the original sketch, it's something that if you made it now, it'd be like, well, obviously that happens all the time. But like in the 90s, the idea of this guy got arrested on TV enough that he becomes a celebrity.
Right.
It's like reality TV didn't really exist.
Yeah.
But there's so many things they kind of predicted. And then there's other things that are like really dated. Like Paul F. Tompkins was talking on his podcast recently about, he's like, oh yeah, we did this sketch that I would not do today where I played a Chinese man.
Yeah.
He's like, some of it does not hold up.
Sure.
Some of it I'm very proud of. But yeah, but like, I don't know. Like there's one sketch where they have a thing called the bag hutch, which is like an infomercial for, it's a box that you can put all your bags in. And that apparently that exists.
Yeah.
Like even as they were making it, they found out that they couldn't call it like the bag box because the bag box was something someone was selling. And they were like, we're trying to make fun of this. We didn't know it existed.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah. And that's like Paul's talking about. I mean, like that's the tricky thing about comedy, especially the fact that all these things live on the internet. You know, there's been several instances like where people have done things that they're not proud of and that they regret. And, but that's like those are the moments that people, whenever something happens, like, what about this? You know, it's like, they always want to bring it back up. And
yeah, it's like, and there's the people that are unrepentant and are just kind of assholes about it and they get in trouble. And then you got like Seth Rogen. He's like, yeah, Superbad, I still think it's a good movie, but we say the R word. We say some other stuff.
Sure.
Like, I'm not apologizing for that. I'm apologizing for that, you know? So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not defending any behavior, but, you know, at the same time, those characters are dumb high school kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, that's the...
It's like, everyone... You know, people talked like that when I was in high school.
Yeah.
It literally... I will admit, like, it was an active, like, decision to stop saying the R word or, like, I didn't say the other F word. I don't think I had said it that much. But, like, it's like there's certain things that it's like, oh, this is bad, and you change. And then the last person to change looks like an asshole.
Right.
So.
Jim Brewer had a good bit. I saw him recently and at Helium, and he covers a lot of that, kind of like the fact that we used to say these words that we can't say anymore, but it was never from a place of hate. You know, it wasn't like you say these things.
Oh yeah. It was like ignorance.
It was just words you said, like but you know, he realizes that they're now, you know, that they're insensitive, but at the same time, it's like, we never said these things.
Mm-hmm.
It was just funny words that they said as a kids and stuff. So anyway, I don't know. He does a really good job of, you know, making light of it, but also having, you know, like making a point to, but anyway, but yeah, it's, you know, it's strange. You know, that's the thing about, there's a lot of that, like, I know, like, you know, Simpsons and whatever, all these things, they're like, you know, icons, like they've definitely come under heat different things. Everybody's done it, so for different
and
things.
Sometimes you just got to be proactive about it. It's like I had a joke where I said something about someone being a different gender, like, what if you could be a different gender for a day, because there was something I read about that, and that's what the term they used, and I'm like, well, that's not correct. The way I'm joking about it is, you are the opposite sex. So it's like, okay, let's change the way I word it proactively, even though that means like rememorizing like the way to say things.
Yeah.
Because I want it to be more true. And like, and it's like, oh, if I was watching it in the audience, I'd be like, well, he's really talking about sex. And I would be criticizing him in my mind. So it's like, oh, I need to hold myself to at least my standard as an audience member. So
yeah.
But I'm also more critical than most people, I think.
Yeah. You posted on Facebook the other day regards to a bit that you used to do. You said you found it on a set list and then you had it on a couple different ones, but you like totally forgot about it. And
oh, that's definitely happened.
And I just found that interesting. Like that's something like that you had like no recollection of this material that you did, but.
Yeah, I use Evernote, and I just have, like, one word, like, names of each joke. And I've got a recording, so I can go back and listen to it. But sometimes, if I'm doing open mics and you're doing, like, a four-minute set, I'll write down, oh, I want to work on this 7 minutes worth of jokes. And so you won't have necessarily done, because usually I'll go through and I'll say which ones I skipped now, but like if it's something from a year and a half ago, I'll be like, do I listen to these sets to figure out what Two Dogs or whatever it's called? Yeah. Like what was this joke about Two Dogs? Like, that's not even a real example, but like, that's how not helpful the names are if you haven't been thinking about it in a while. So
yeah, I just found that like an interesting thing. Like, I'm sure everybody goes through it all, but it was just like to think about like that. This was obviously
something that I did multiple times. Yeah, it had to be
some sort of significance to it, and then like
Well, like I want to record an album before too long, and part of that is like, let's go through like not everything I've ever written, like, but like, I scrolled back for a while to be like, okay, are there jokes that I told a couple times, and then now I'll think about it and do it differently, and it'll be better. But then there's some where you're like, what was the joke about? Had a joke about camping? Like, what was? And it's like, oh, it was like my nephew said something dumb where we camp. Like, not dumb, but like, but just the word camping wouldn't give you that if you haven't thought about it in, you know, 2 years.
Sure.
So,
I think that's what Mitch Hedberg says on one of his albums, like that he's recording for an album, and he's like, I have to tell every joke that I know or something like that. Like, you know, and I just,
that's kind of what your first album is. Right. It's like every good joke that you've written, unless you wait long enough that is more than long enough.
Yeah.
Cause like, I'm going to do like have more than an hour of decent jokes, record like 50 minutes, probably release like 40 to 45. Cause like Greg Warren is very funny. He's like one of the funniest people I've ever seen. I listened to one of his old albums and it was like over an hour. And I feel like the last 10 minutes, I'm like, I'm sick of hearing the same guy's voice at this point, you know?
Right.
So I feel like anytime it's like actually an hour, I'm like, okay, this was like 40 minutes of gold, and then and then the B-sides, it's not like music B-sides, you know?
I feel like that with my show sometimes, like, I'm like, nobody wants to listen to this for that long, but but I'm also like, I don't know, if you want to listen half on the way to work, half on the way home, or whatever it is, like, I don't know. People can tune in and out whenever they want and stuff, but I'm kind of with you though. Like, I feel like 45 to an hour is probably a sweet spot for anything. Like,
some people overthink it though with podcasts, where they're like, "Oh, I want it to be a half hour, so it's the length of your commute." And I'm like, "Well, I don't listen when I commute. Yeah. I listen like when I have like a repetitive task to do at work."
All right.
And so if it's like a half hour, I'm like, "Man, I wish this was longer." But then there's some shows I like that are like 2 hours, like Todd Glass's show used to be that long, or like Never Not Funny, and it's like, oh, I like that show. How often have I gotten to the last minute of it? A couple times.
Well, you've done your fair share of podcasting. We were talking about a show that you used to do with Amy.
Oh yeah, Amy Milton and I, we had a show called Comedy Versus Everything, and the premise was originally, it was like, we talked to like people we think are funny, people we think are doing interesting stuff, and then pillars of the community. That was like our like statement of like who we want to interview, and then it was like 99% comedians. We did a couple musicians and stuff, but I think we got better as it went, you know, because I mean, you've done enough episodes, you know, like you improve over time.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, anything, I feel you get a certain number of reps and you finally start getting, you realize, oh, that this works, this doesn't work, and you just start editing yourself better, and you learn how to make it sound better and everything, you know, just all that. But
yeah, at some point we realize it's like, some people are just more introverted and they have interesting stuff to say, but there's going to be like gaps that we can cut out. And as long as we tell them, hey, we're going to edit this. So if there's like an awkward pause, it doesn't matter. Just keep going.
All right.
And that helped, but
yeah.
But then I think I was telling you, we started doing Fatal Bus Accident, which is the sketch show, but it's really like, they're like plays. It started out as like the first couple were like actually a talk show, where like we had real guests and fake guests, and we had like a musical guest, and we had like desk bits. and all that, but eventually it turned into we're just doing like a play version of a TV show. So we started working on that. I got married, so we took like a couple weeks off. Amy broke her arm. Like, she, this is a really sad story, but like, she fell off her bed was lofted. She fell off her bed and broke her shoulder, and then crawled back up to her bed to get her phone and realized that it had fallen with her and had to crawl back down. It's really sad. Like, this is a part of her life where everything was going, like, no, she had like a lot of things going right. wrong. She did a show at the Fringe Festival about her year of everything falling apart. And that's kind of why we stopped doing the podcast. We kept saying we were going to do it again, but we just didn't.
So you guys recorded Fatal Bus Accident and put it up as a podcast too?
No, Fatal Bus Accident.
Or just the, it was just the live.
That was just live. We have some videos of it, but the video from the back of the room of the improv shop, often like you can hear people outside talking or whatever. Yeah. Like it's, and it doesn't cut at all. So it's kind of hard to tell.
Right.
So I really would like to do at some point either an improv shop or even just somewhere small like Heavy Anchor or whatever, and like have like a few cameras and like edit it.
Yeah.
So that people can see what it was
mm-hmm.
that weren't there. No, like we have talked, like we're working on like some video stuff. Like there's a short film that we wrote that we were gonna start filming. We're gonna start filming it in like April of last year, and we were like, okay, if we all like socially distance, it'd be fine, but there's like 14 characters and like half of them are like laying in a bed together, and it's like, okay, we really can't do this during the pandemic. And then we're working on some other short films and stuff, but
do you feel like writing is more your, or do you like performing, or do you like both, balancing both of them?
I like performing. I think writing is my favorite of the two.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite thing about stand-up is producing, like, these jokes. Like, coming up with a joke and, like, making it better over time. That, to me, is the most exciting thing. Like, kind of having, like, this body of work of, like, oh, I have all these jokes. Like, things like in the moment, like crowd work type stuff. Like I don't do a ton of crowd work, but like sometimes you react and it's funny, but it's mm-hmm. like, okay, yeah, whatever. I don't care. Let me tell my joke that all I right. wrote. And then like, I don't think I'm a great actor. I think I'm okay. But writing for like Fatal Bus Accident, even though I was a character in every episode, and like writing for these short films, it's like the writing part, I think, is the most, the writing, and then once it's done, like once it has been produced and you can be proud of it, like those, like I was saying to Stryker about this movie or this short film we're working on, that I was like, we already wrote a script and rewrote a few times and we feel really good about it, and we've had some good read throughs. So I feel like until it's done, it just is going to feel like work. Like normally you kind of flow from one thing to the next, but now it's like, hey, it's been 16 months. Now we have to schedule with people and buy costumes and figure out what room we're going to shoot this in. Like that part to me isn't as exciting. It's just like figuring out what it's going to be. And then once it's done, like those are the best parts.
I think,
if that makes sense.
Yeah. I just had a good time talking to Stryker about his film part-time, and you got to,
I'm in the credits like 9 times, but I swear I only worked on it for like 2 days, you know. But like you hold a microphone for a few scenes, and then you help break down some wood that they can build a set with, and then you let them. There's a scene that was in our the scene with Tommy Moslander and Ella and Stryker. Nope, not Stryker and Casey. That was my living room up there.
All right.
Yeah, when they were like wrestling on the couch, I was sitting off to the side, like, please don't break that pillow. It was like that pillow got so twisted up.
That was cool though. Like, I mean, it's just fun to, just like you're saying, when it's all done, seeing the final product, and especially for me, like I said on the show, like I'm just really proud of him for actually seeing it through and like doing it, and like it's just really cool.
It's crazy.
It's cool to see friends that are you know, making things happen like that. So
it's one of those things that makes you feel like, oh shit, now I need to be more ambitious. It's like, if I didn't know anybody that made a feature-length film, I would be like, sure, we can make some short little comedy shorts, right, and we'll be like the coolest people in the world. But it's like, he made a fucking hour and a half long movie. So now I'm like, okay, we should still make these comedy shorts, but we should do something bigger, I guess.
I don't know, something in that triggered a memory or a quote thing, but you mentioned Seth Rogen earlier, mm-hmm, and Superbad and stuff, and he, I forget if he was like on Stern Show or something, he was talking about how like their group of friends, they were doing a lot of that. They were all pushing each other, like,
oh yeah,
you know, trying to be the next funniest thing, like, and they said, I don't know, whatever the order was, but you know, like, they did like 40-Year-Old Virgin and Superbad or whatever. And they all kind of came around that era and stuff. And then he says, and then Jason Segel came out and just showed his wiener on in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And they were like, how are we going to top that? You know, like, he did so it, man. Funny. Like, that's it. Like, that's the you know, what's funnier than that? So, anyway, just like, it made me laugh thinking about that. Like, that these guys were, mm-hmm, challenging and pushing each other to keep being funnier and stuff. So,
I remember when I was, like, pretty new at stand-up, it was probably, like, 2012, and Ben Johnson was also pretty new, and he's probably, he might be my favorite comic in town. Like, he's up there, like, he has so many bits that I'll just think about sometimes, but he was kind of trying to figure out his voice for a while, and so it's like, I would feel like, oh, I've written some good jokes, I'm feeling pretty good, and then he would have a new joke, or I'd be like, oh, fuck. And then I would, like, work harder, and then he would struggle a little bit, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm pulling ahead, and then like, he would show up with a joke that I'm like, oh, that's better than any of my jokes, and then I would, like, work harder, and I'd be like, okay, I got this. Like, it wasn't even like we both knew it was happening. Right. I would just, like, be inspired, and then he would, like, in a moment where he's struggling to figure out what to do with his voice, I would, like, feel like I'm on, like, an upswing. Like, yeah. It was, like, the opposite. I feel like I haven't had, like, that much of a one-to-one, not really rivalry, but, like, being motivated by someone. But, like, now it's more like some random person will have a joke, and I'm like, oh, man, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, like, even if they don't even know about it, but just having that healthy competitive spirit to where you want to, like, push yourself to work harder and stuff. I mean, I think that's good drive to have for any creative person.
Yeah, like, I feel like some people have the mentality where they have to be the funniest person around or whatever, which I think the more funny people are around, the better. Like, I was talking to... this is not really that, but it's related to... I was just talking to Ella Fritz tonight. I went to the improv shop, and she said she didn't recognize a lot of people, but she's talking to some of them, and a lot of them are, like, new people that took, like, improv, like Zoom classes and brought a bunch of their friends. And it's like, oh, it's cool, there's a lot of new people. And I was talking about how, like, there's a lot of new stand-ups in the past, like, year and a half, plus, like, maybe, like, the 6 months leading up to the pandemic, which... sounds like it would be more competition for stage time, but I'm like, no, that's more people to start shows and then more people to, like, book me on their shows, yeah. You know? I think it just helps.
I had a friend, Jack, just started doing some comedy, started doing some open mic work, and he hit me up about some suggestions of, like, where to open his own open mic, you know, start his own open mic. And I'm like, man, I don't even know where to, especially now, like, a lot of places aren't even.
It's like, wait a couple months.
Yeah.
Let's see.
But I guess he found something either, or maybe, I don't know if he started his own or if that was just where he went, but he might be, but it was, looked like it was a newer thing. So maybe he did have a part in hand in starting it over there. But anyway, but yeah, it's just, it's cool to see that. I don't know. I would take it as like, I feel it's got to feel like a compliment, even though, like you're saying, maybe it is sometimes a battle for stage time and things, but that's the nice thing about this city is we got a lot of stages and we got a lot of mics, and you know, I think it's maybe not exactly today, you know, but I think it's going to eventually all come back around.
Yeah.
A lot more like it used to be. We used to, 2019 for sure, like we had, you know, a lot of opportunities to get out and perform and things. And
yeah, 2019, it hit a point where like there were two weekly showcases on Saturday and two weekly showcases on Thursday. So like, oh, you've got like a big thing coming up and you can just talk to, you just send three emails and it's like, oh, you can basically get like a feature week. Mm-hmm. Like you wouldn't have to wait for it, Helium or whatever. So it'll be fun seeing a lot of these venues come back and seeing that, like I was just telling someone tonight at the improv shop, I was like, oh yeah, back last year, I filmed like a 30-minute set at the improv shop to like send out to bookers, and Stryker, like I paid Stryker to film it for me, and he got it back to me, and less than a week later, everything shut down.
Yeah.
So it was like I literally, like I was talking to someone in Arkansas and it's like, hey, I'll send you a video. He should be sending me next week. And then I was like, I'm not going to send you the video. I'm assuming you're not. He's like, yeah, we're not doing shows for a while.
All right. Yeah. And we're getting ready. I don't know what the date on it, but they're getting ready to open up another Funny Bone in St. Louis. So.
Oh yeah. In St. Charles.
Yeah. So I think
it's exciting.
I think that it could be cool too. Just, again, another opportunity for everybody. So, you know,
yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. I'm excited to go over there and check it out. So, I think I don't know, as business standpoint, I mean, obviously there's a lot going on in St. Charles, but it's also only a couple miles from the Maryland Heights one.
They seem really close, so. But I guess because it's an area that people are going to anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that area is like super
yeah.
populated now. Like,
well, that area, it's, there's so many like apartments around there, mm-hmm. which I think helps. And then it's not too far from like kind of nicer areas, so like you get like a good mix, I think, of people that like a lot of people that maybe would have gone to the other Funny Bone, but like not as often mm-hmm. because it's not as close.
I also feel like too you're gonna get a lot of more walk up and maybe a lot more people coming to Funny Bone for the very first time. So I don't know, it could be cool. Yeah. Man,
that's
so.
The exciting thing when people start, because it's like I'm doing this showcase next week at the Heavy Anchor because yeah. I like the Heavy Anchor, but whenever people start stuff, showcases or mics at new venues, I'm like, oh, there's going to be random people that are regulars there that will come in.
Right.
Because, like, it's like, if we can get, like, four or five more, like, Andy Knights or Susan DeGeorges or, like, these are people that, like, you see all the time at shows at certain venues. It's like, oh, if we just get, like, a few more of some of these people that come to, like, four or five shows a month, then every show has like a few more people
right. in it,
and every show is that much better. So
yeah, I mean that's how I really kind of got into it. Like I started hanging out at the Funny Bone like every Sunday. Yeah. And I became friends with all the guys, all the locals, and there were and all the touring comics coming through and stuff. And so I don't know. It's a lot of fun, man, especially just being a part of a community like that. Like, you know, yeah. especially like, you know, you can come out and have a laugh, but you become friends with these people and you can kind of continue to come out and see them and stuff. So I just love the art of comedy and watching somebody develop that act and, you know, figure out, you may see them do the same joke over and over, but they finally get it. You know, when you get to see it finally land, they change the right, you know, whatever it is, and it makes it work. And it's like, that's always a lot of fun for me just to, you know, be a part of that, like just to watch them work and stuff. So
did you ever know, Aaron Brooks when he was in town?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. We did a podcast, Zoom one a while back. Yeah. He finally was on the show.
Yeah. He was one of the guys that, when I was relatively new, like it'd be like at Fitz's or Nick's pub or whatever, it's like people would be outside smoking, like, oh shit, Aaron's up. And like everyone would like want to watch.
Yeah.
And it'd be like the same bit he's been working on for the past couple weeks. But like, I feel really grateful to have started when someone like him was around to show it's like, you just add stuff and it gets longer and then you cut stuff out that's not working and it gets shorter and it gets longer and eventually it's like a different bit, but like it gets better, not better every time, but like it slowly gets, because sometimes you'll do a set where it got worse and you learned, oh, okay, I need to get rid of this.
Sure. You know? Well, I think Bert Kreischer even said that about like that machine story.
Oh yeah.
Like I think it started as like whatever 5 minutes, whatever it was, or something. But now it's like stretched. He's like, you know, when he did it on the special, it's like, And even then,
it's like half the special.
All right. Even then, he's got like even more things that he's added to it since the special came. So like when I saw him live, like he, which was funny because he like has now he has reaction from like people that were involved in the story and stuff like
that. Oh, that's amazing.
After they saw them do the joke and stuff. Anyway, so it's just. It's become like a half an hour thing now, like he's, you know, but it's all funny and it works, so it's might as well keep, you know, doing it. But
long stuff like that is so hard to work on. Sure. If you're mainly doing open mics, because like I have a couple bits that are like 5 or 6 minutes, or like I had a story that I was working on for a while and I'll eventually bring it back, but it's like 5 minutes. And if you're doing like 4 or 5 minute sets, and half the time it's like mainly comedians in the audience, they just get sick of hearing this, and you're like, okay, I need to tell the story like 100 times before I figure out like really how to make it work.
And then if it doesn't land, you feel like, oh,
Well, like a 5 minute bit in the middle of like a 20 minute, like, so since I've come back in the past month, I've done like a 40 minute set at 9 Mile Garden. I did like a 20 minute set in Columbia, and other than that, it's been open mics. And there's a couple jokes. There's one joke in particular that's real long, and both times I've done it at like a longer set, it literally got applause. But almost every time I do it at an open mic, people aren't really into it. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, it's because I feel like if you just talk about one topic for the whole set, sometimes people are like, he's still talking about superheroes? Like, what? Like, whereas like if they've gotten to know you for 5-10 minutes already, and they're like, okay, he's funny, I will listen to this thread. I'll let him get to the part that's amazing. But like comics are like, I don't know, you lost me.
Yeah.
Or like, I mean, I've heard this already. And it's like, okay, how do you, I don't know. It's hard to reconcile the two reactions. And so it's like, okay, you kind of have to get to a point where you're like a headliner or featuring constantly to work on some of those. So it's like, just take a lot of notes.
Yeah.
Do it when you can do it.
Yeah. I've just following guys around. I've seen, one of my favorite moments in particular is Sean Patton came. I saw him at Foam.
I think it was at that show, unless he came to Foam twice.
I mean, he could.
One of the ones that Wernowski put together, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And like Zach Noe Towers was there, and anyway, it was a great lineup. And but I remember like Sean did like this whole. A whole different thing, like in an alternative room like that, like like I saw him just a few months later. He came to Funny Bone and did like a completely different hour. So like, you definitely have to kind of cater your material to that, you know, to the crowd and stuff. Like, you know, figure out which ones are gonna, you know, be best for a bar crowd compared to an actual show and stuff, or
which is hard because deep down you're like, it's like you want to be like. Punk rock, fucking political. You want to be like, fuck you. I'm gonna tell you the jokes I want to tell. You know, that's, but you're like, okay, yeah, okay. If I tell it that way, it usually doesn't work at this club. So I'll tell it the other way.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And then you start to like both ways. But
the best part of that show with Sean that makes it really stand out is, Foam. The stage is right there by the door, and he. Used it as a prop and acted it out and went out the door and it locked.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember that.
And he, and then he stayed in character that he was doing and like stomped and marched all the way back up the sidewalk, come in the other door and back through the crowd.
Oh,
and, like,
my God. Yeah.
And it was a really a funny moment, man. It was just like, you know, nobody, you know, didn't wait till like somebody let him in or something. Like, he just, you know, stayed in character, and
that's so fucking funny.
Yeah, it was good.
That door confused people because people would try to open it, and like, because I would, like, we did Sorry Please Continue there. I've done some random like stand up shows that are around there, and it's like, if you don't, if the curtains aren't there. Sometimes even if the curtains are there, people will try to open the door, and you want to signal to them, go to the other door,
right? Yeah, that's another one. RIP to Foam, right?
The Apotheosis Comics has opened a second location there, and I think they are going to have shows there.
Okay, that'd be cool.
I think they're going to have shows at both locations.
Yeah.
Which, if that means twice as many shows from them, great, because those are always fun.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm just glad to see that the space is being utilized. But yeah, the foam was always a fun spot for a show. So that would be great to.
I was so sad when foam closed.
Yeah.
I think we had the last stand-up show there. There might have been one after us. Yeah. But I did a show that I was going to... I'm going to do it every year. I haven't thought about this in forever because the pandemic. Right. Didn't do it last year. Called Progress Report, where I picked some comics that I know have really good jokes that they wrote that year, and it's like you do a set of only jokes from that year.
Okay.
Because After we did the last Fatal Bus Accident, I had about 6 months where I wrote probably more jokes in that 6 months than I had in like 3 years, which like I'd written some jokes in those 3 years, but it was like, I was so focused on this other writing and I'm like, oh man, I'm really excited. I want to do this. And so I was like, I had, Casey Paulson and Emily Hickner and Tina Deeball. I think, I don't remember who was on it, but yeah, it was, Matt Barnes.
All right.
Anytime I book a show, it's like, who do I really want to see do a set?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be like, oh, I'm giving new guys an opportunity. I'm like, no, I only do shows so often. Like, you got to be good enough for me to, like, it has to be a show I want to go watch.
All right.
Which sounds shitty to be like, I don't want to give opportunities, but I'm like, you'll get there. Okay. Yeah. Do mics.
Yeah. Well, we do have a big one. Speaking of people that you want to come see, this will be a fun one. And this is a Friday night heavy anchor. This is June 25th.
Yep.
With Emily Hickner, you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Justin Luke, both of them friends of the show.
Yep.
And Tommy Mosslander.
Do you know Tommy?
I know Tommy through We Are Live.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Last time I did the show, he was on there.
Oh yeah, he was an intern with Chris.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's doing 15 up front, and then the three of us are doing 20 or 25, I think. And then in the future, I'm going to host the show, but I was like, I'm going to do a long set.
Yeah.
And it's called Welcome Back. It's always going to be called Welcome Back, even if I'm doing it a couple years from now.
Sure.
At first, at least, it's just people that like quit comedy during the pandemic. I'm not like advertising it as that. I don't want to like start an argument because that sounds obnoxious, but I'm like, these are people that I miss and haven't seen in a while. The next one, which isn't until August because I'm busy in July, I think it's Tina Deball and Casey Paulson and Kate Barton. So,
okay. And is that going to be on the same, is that reoccurring on the same?
It's whenever the heavy anchor had, but I think it is basically the same Friday. Going to be August 27th.
All right.
So, yeah.
Very cool, man. Well, yeah, keep an eye out for more of those shows. Also, it's a $10 cover charge to get in that night, and the heavy anchor is also requiring masks still, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, they are.
So be sure to bring your mask with you. I know some places are a little more relaxed on it, but I saw that they were still requiring it in their location, so yeah.
I figure I'm still just used to it.
Right.
And it's like I usually get a cold like twice a year, and I didn't last year. Yeah. So I don't know if I keep wearing a mask at the gym and at the grocery store, and I work from home.
Yeah.
It's like if I got sick, it was from comedy, and hopefully that didn't happen.
Yeah.
The last time we did Fatal Bus Accident at Flyover, it was the second year they did Flyover. I was sick, John was sick, and Stryker was sick. Amy had just gotten over being sick. Like we went to Walgreens and bought so much medicine like the day of the show just to like make it through the show.
Right.
And like I lost my voice and I had like so many lines, and I remember I was talking to like Emily or someone and they were like, people said that you lost your voice but you started talking on stage, and I was like, Jesus Christ. It was bad, and I'm like, I just don't want that to happen again, so I'll wear a mask occasionally.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, along with Welcome Back, you are also welcoming back Sorry, Please Continue.
Yeah, we're starting in July. We're doing the second Wednesday of every month at Heavy Anchor, and then it's going to be a podcast again. Probably monthly at first, but we might do some like Zoom like stories or whatever from people. Like it's a storytelling show where it's me, Kenny Kynes, and if Kenny can't make it, Amy. And then a guest, we interrupt people with jokes and questions and stuff. Like forever ago, Chris Winowski wanted to do a show where he told dating stories, or a show where he interrupted people. And then Amy and I, we were like literally putting away our microphones at the end of recording a Comedy vs. Everything. And we were just talking about it. And we were like, they should change topics every month. Why would he do the same topic? People are going to run out of topics. And yeah. Then we're like, and it should be like him and a host and like a guest. Like that would be perfect. And we're like, you know who we should have as the other host? It should be Kenny. Like we literally came up with the show idea.
Right.
And pitched it. And he did one, and then he moved to Cleveland. And then he did it there for a little, and I did it in St. Louis. And we've been doing it, other than for the past 15 months, we did it since, as a live show, since I think 2013 or 14.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, Kenny's great. One of my favorites.
Kenny's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Kenny, Sorry Please Continue got into Bird City Comedy Festival in Phoenix. Well, it did last year, which got rescheduled, but it did like for the first Bird City in like 2016. And so Kenny wasn't in as a stand up. I got in as a stand up, so I had a bunch of shows I was doing. But then Kenny got onto one of the shows and just did like a 5-minute set. And he told a joke that was so funny that like I did like a podcast with one of the people that was running the festival like a couple days later, and he was like, that joke that Kenny told is the funniest joke I've heard this whole festival. Yeah. No, he's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, he kills it on Facebook too. He's always posting some great lines, and
he's always talking about The Wire.
Yep, he's one of my favorites for sure. Do you have a favorite story that you've heard over the years? I mean, there's probably a lot of them, but is there anything that stands out as one of your? I mean, not that you have like to tell the whole story, but from the show?
There was one that just jumped to mind is this guy Patrick Trowbridge. He took some time off of drinking for a couple months to lose weight or whatever. And then he went to a bar and had like a pitcher of Long Island iced tea, and then went to go to sleep in his car, and then woke up driving the car down the highway with all four tires blown out. And then he pulled over and he got out to pee, and then he just happened to get back into the passenger seat, and the police pulled up, and he said that he picked up this girl at a bar. And he doesn't know her name, and she was driving the car, and she crashed, and her friend picked her up, and he just passed out waiting for his friend to pick him up. And they believed him, and then they started to kind of doubt him, and the tow truck driver was like, you need to get in the fucking tow truck right now, or you're going to get a DUI. But, there's so many stories. Our 100th episode, I just did, like, 9 stories by Rob T. Do you know Rob T.?
I don't think so.
I think he's in like Vegas or somewhere now, but he's a stand up. His stand up is funny, but like if he could get his stand up to be as funny as him telling stories on Sorry Please Continue, he'd be the funniest comedian anyone's ever. Like he told a story about how when he was a kid, he knew this guy that had a dog that was really mean, and that dog was named Hitler. So he named his dog Hitler. And the dog kept like escaping from the basement. And Kenny and I made every possible World War II reference. We were talking about Hogan's Heroes and Inglourious Basterds, like everything. Like I laughed so hard I cried, and to the point I was dehydrated, and then like my abs hurt the next day. Right. Just from laughing at this story. He has so many good stories.
Yeah.
Now, if you want a good sampling of Sorry Please Continue from the early days with shitty sound quality through the later days with not as shitty, but probably still slightly shitty sound quality, listen to episode 100. It's like 4 hours of Rob T telling stories.
Yeah, those are all...
They're all available wherever podcasts are.
Right on.
For a while, we would like... Because we do 4 stories usually in a show, and I would split it into 2 episodes. But too often we do like callbacks and stuff.
Right.
And that was just so much extra work that I'm like, okay, I'll just release it less often and have it be longer. People don't mind if it's an hour and a half.
Yeah. 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 I have to come out, man. I don't think I've ever actually made a Sorry Please Continue show. I know I listen to the podcast and I try to support that way, but that sounds like a lot of fun. I know
if you have any stories. I always tell people, if you want to tell a story, you can either wait until we have a topic or think of a really good story you have and tell me, and then I'll make the topic around that. Yeah. And then I at least have one story. And then I only have to find three more storytellers. It's so much easier.
I'm not, I don't know, like, I'm sure I got something to share, but like, that's a craft, man. That's an art to telling the, telling stories like that and making them, especially entertaining and making them funny and everything. Like, you know, there's obviously there's a reason there's the greats that do it, you know. It's like a just
but that show, it's like, it's almost like cheating though, because it's like you can be a really good storyteller and you crafted a really good story and the audience is always impressed by that, but if something crazy happened to you and you just say the details of what happened and the order it happened and answer our questions, like, you don't have to be a good storyteller at all. You just have to have a thing that happened to you. And then, because, like, sometimes stories that work really well at Sorry, Please Continue, if you just told it without the interruptions, it'd be like, that's barely a story. That's just a weird thing with, like, five crazy details. But, like, five crazy details is, like, 20 minutes of us making jokes.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I like that, too, that, you know, just gives you guys plenty to work with just to start... just firing out there, all the, making fun of all the goofy stuff. So,
oh, another great story. It was Caitlin. I can't remember her last name. She does improv, but when she was growing up, her dad was like the foremost like snake expert in Texas. So she was the snake princess, and she told the story about becoming a herpetologist or whatever and being an expert in frogs and like going to study frogs in like Jamaica and stuff like that. And it's like every year, like that was like two or three years ago. And every year, like, Liz will look at her Facebook memories. She's like, oh, it's Snake Princess Day. Cause like, that's her favorite story, I think, that she's ever heard.
Yeah.
It's crazy. No, there's, I haven't thought about individual stories in a while. And now I'm getting excited. I'm like, I should go back and listen to some of these.
Sure.
Because I'm sure it's like the your podcast. It's like someone's like, oh, hey, this crazy thing someone said. And you're like, when was that? I don't
know. Yeah.
Because it all blurs together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can think of like, I can definitely isolate moments, you know, that, but I couldn't tell you when that was, like, you know, or whatever. I'm terrible at time. Mm-hmm. I remember all the, just like reciting some of these things. And like, if you ask me about it, I'd tell you, but like, I'm just, but I also will talk about things like they were yesterday when it was, you know, it's 20 like years
beat
ago.
A stand up.
Yeah.
So. Oh, the other day.
Yeah. Right.
Anytime someone says something happened on the way to the club, I'm like, right. You would look so much more excited if this just happened to you. Because you're like, yeah, a new bit.
Yeah.
But that's something only a comic would notice.
Yeah. But you can come out to Sorry, Please Continue on July 14th.
Yes.
And then August 11th, or so put those on your calendar. That'll, you said that's going to be a monthly.
Yeah, it's going to be monthly at the Heavy Anchor. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the shows I run are Heavy Anchor now.
Yeah, man. Well, that's, it's going to be, it's cool. I mean, I'm glad that all these things are coming back around. So it's,
yeah, like Apotheosis coming back, Heavy Anchor coming back. Demon's going to start some shows, I think. Yale shows back, like, so much is starting back up.
Yeah,
we might end up with more than we had when things shut down,
right?
It seems like
I probably should do that. I mean, I know there's a lot of people, not that there's a lot of people doing it and they do a great job of what they do, but I do a lot of music shows. I did a monthly songwriter showcase for almost 3 years, and then for COVID, and then I've had some of my friends in comedy host some of my shows. Bobby hosted my second birthday show. I think John Venegoni was the third birthday show. John Maddy.
Those are three perfect hosts to have.
Yeah.
You know, high energy people that extremely likable.
Sure. Yeah, John.
Good jokes.
Bobby did the show at second birthday show I did was at Broadway Oyster Bar, and Bobby came out and opened up the show and then did some stuff in between bands, and not that he's like super dirty or anything, but he said some kind of joke about semen or something like that, or sperm or whatever he said. But I was like, and of course, Broadway Oyster Bar is, you know, people are eating dinner still at this time. I was like, hey, maybe save the sperm jokes for after people are done eating and stuff or something, you know, like
that's
it was just a strange thing. And I was like, but I was also like, I was probably a lot more, people were obviously, everybody enjoyed it, but and nobody said it, complained or anything like that. But it was just like me, I was a lot more critical of it because I was an employee there, two, I was the host or the producer of the show.
If the show goes bad, it's like the show's not coming back, yeah. But like you're like, I gotta come back to work tomorrow, right.
And I was like, I don't want to, and I also don't want to, you know, upset any of my coworkers, or something like. So I'm like, man, yeah, it was like, so all this is going through my head, and I'm like, but again, everything was fine, but and they don't do comedy there, and I, you know, made it happen. They gave me the night, and so I'm like, I'm doing this, I'm going all in. Like,
yeah,
I had Matthias and the Pirates, a hip hop act, comedy. I had two rock bands, and and very Brotherly and the Leather Jackals and Skyburn White on that show, which none of them ever played Broadway Oyster Bar. You know, never had comedy at Broadway Oyster Bar and all this stuff. Like, so I was like, it was a very
very different.
Yeah, but it worked. You know, it was a fun night. It was great. We had a good crowd and everything, and so it was just fun to do something completely different than they'd ever done there. So,
well, I think if someone knows what they're doing, like, the venue should be pretty happy that they're bringing in a different audience, kind of.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like, if you want, I mean, you know, obviously you have your regulars, but it's like, I introduced a lot of people and they'd never been down there and they never saw these, they never saw this band before or whatever. And that always, that's one of my favorite things when people are like, man, I probably wouldn't have gone to see like a hip hop show, but now that they're here and they're playing, like, I love it. And I'm like, you know, and that's kind of, and that's like one of my favorite compliments and stuff. Like, so
we used to have musical acts on Fatal Bus X. And we first did it, like I said, it was like almost a real talk show. Like, we had other people. We had Emily Wallace. We had Bates. Have you heard Bates?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, she's great. Like, that was crazy because I'd seen her on like a list of like rappers that were good, and so I just like contacted her, and I had listened to like a little bit of her music, and then it was just like the energy in the room was like insane.
Yeah.
But the problem is like people would come for our show. And then they would just like be like, okay, it's an hour and a half total. I'll go to the bathroom or go to the bar during the musical act. So we started putting the musical act first so that they wouldn't leave.
Yep.
And then it was like, what? This just, it just doesn't work right together with that type of show.
Yeah. Yeah. I've often tried to figure out like a way to mix those two. Cause like they're both huge parts of my life. I love both so much. And there's some that do it well. Like, I like...
I've seen it work, but it's rare.
Yeah. I like... Comedy Central was doing a show, the Goddamn Comedy Jam.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where somebody tells a funny story about a song, and it happens... Sometimes pertains a song or whatever, and then they do the karaoke version with the band. And I always thought that was, like, a really unique twist on the idea, like, to blending the two, comedy and music and stuff, so...
There was a show that Chris Sear did one time at Crack Fox, and then something similar that I did a show at a comedy festival in Flagstaff where like this band plays, it's like, it was like a jazz band, I think, in Flagstaff. I don't know what kind of band it was for Chris Sear's show, but like they basically played like backing music to like your stand up.
Oh yeah.
And so like for Chris Sear's one, I tried to write short jokes. So it'd be like, you can kind of do them like in rhythm with it, and like they'd play like solos, and you come in with the punchline or whatever. Like it was really fun. It's I'm sure it's hard to do.
Sure.
I made sure to like have stuff for that. The people that did it at the place in Flagstaff, I think, do it all the time in like San Francisco or something like that. So like, and they would play different styles of music for different people. Like they would like draw a card and be like, okay, we're doing this style of music for. And then you would do your like open mic set, basically.
Huh.
It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's
audience liked it, but it's so many moving parts. It's such a hard show to put together.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be, different for sure. Difficult. I think, I'm sure the right people can respond to it well, but like I just feel like also like you're so used to not having a band playing, you know, so like is this something different to adjust to for sure. So, but that's kind of the fun of it too, just the awkwardness trying to figure out, like watch people figure out how to adapt and stuff.
Yeah.
So and the same, you know, same thing with why I like watching like crowd work and or going to see the same comic over and over, because you never know what you're going to get. It's a live show, man. That's the fun of it. So,
some really good crowd work I saw literally yesterday. I don't even know if it counts as crowd work. Justin Luke, it's my first time seeing him since he's been back, had some joke about his niece said that she could name 1,000 types of dinosaurs or something like that. And so he kept telling some guy in the audience, asking him to name a dinosaur or something like that. And he was trying to ask him, and this other guy kept trying to answer for him, and Justin was like, shut the fuck. He just kept yelling at this guy, and eventually the guy answered. So he's getting off stage, and the guy that kept interrupting kind of called him over almost like he was going to apologize, and Justin walked over like he was going to be cool and then just said, don't ever talk to my fucking set. Just walked outside. And just, that wasn't even part of his set, but it was so fucking right. Funny. It was so aggressive.
Yeah, I think more people should...
yell at audience members. Yeah. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. I've been going around asking a couple questions, Jeremy, if having some fun with these. Would you do any celebrity impressions? I know a lot of comedy guys do voices and impressions. Or is there anything certain voices?
I don't think so. I think I have before, but it's always been in the moment.
Yeah.
Which I think is... I think is what Stryker said in that episode that I listened to the other day. But no, I'm not good at impressions. Like in terms of like I don't really like doing act outs.
Yeah.
In my stand up, I'm like, if I have to change my voice slightly, I'm gonna get annoyed at this joke after a little bit. Like I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I find you know, I think I said the same thing with Stryker too, but like I do find it interesting because like so many of my so much of my comedy comes from like cartoons and those different voices and like and so the voice acting is always something I find very interesting, like even if it's not an impression, it's just the different voices all those people do and stuff, which is now is probably people are doing impressions of all those characters. So,
or even like audio dramas, like my wife Liz writes I guess 2 audio dramas. And just some of the people are really good at doing all these different voices. Like my old roommate, Sean, I think he uses a stage name on that because he's a teacher and he has kids looking it up. But like, he's so good at doing all these impressions and stuff. I don't know. It's really impressive. Right. But I could change my voice to maybe sound like a character that's made up, but like not an existing person in the world.
Yeah. All right. Well, this one came. I haven't asked this one in a while, but this one always I find interesting. Okay. Say you could. I think actually this one came from David Spade proposed the question on Howard Stern show one day, and I found it an interesting idea to think about. But your all-time SNL cast, if you like, through all the years, like maybe. Couple whatever, like who are some of those that you would like to, if you could
put them all together in one cast.
All right,
for a second I was gonna ask, do they have to have been on SNL?
Are you a fan? Are you
I don't really watch SNL. I there's some stuff that I've liked in the past, there's some stuff that I've liked that I've seen recently, but I don't know. I think it was, I don't remember who I was talking to recently. I think I was talking to Stryker. And he pointed out, because I think they watched the Elon Musk episode, which I don't think is representative of what is a good episode of SNL. But and this rings true with a lot of what I've seen. And this is just a personal taste thing, is like a lot of like the stuff we tried to do for Fatal Boss Accident, because we're not making it in a week. We have 2 months. We had 2 months to work as hard as possible. It's like, oh, you try to kind of get a laugh with like every line. Whereas like SNL, it's like it's a silly premise and there's like 7 punchlines, but everything else is normal and it's just a different philosophy. And also like the political impressions, I'm like, I don't care. because yeah. I'm on Twitter all week and I've seen funnier takes on this.
Yeah.
But I do like so many of the people that are on SNL, and in every given season, even if you're like, this is a terrible season, it's like you could cobble together an episode of television that would be like as good as anything, you know, if you just take the best sketches.
Sure. That's why I'm thankful for the DVR. Like I can fast forward through all the stuff I don't care about, but.
Well, sometimes you don't know until you're sure. 3 minutes in and you're like, oh no, is this where they're going?
Well, I often would skip the cold open because.
Yeah, it's just leading up to, it's always political and then it just leads up to the intro.
And I usually, I don't watch enough of the news or anything to even get why it would be funny or whatever. Mm. So
you have the opposite reason to not like the political stuff with me. Yeah. I'm like, I've seen weirder takes than this, and I don't know. Let's see. I recently watched Bridesmaids, and also I was just talking to someone the other day about Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar, and so Kristen Wiig probably a person I would pick. What's the amount of people in the cast?
Well, you know, maybe I don't have to be all of them, but yeah, like
I could pick didn't make it very long in SNL, where it's like Larry David and Sarah Silverman and Jenny Slate and Casey Wilson. They're all amazing.
Yeah,
put them together on a sitcom, and it'd be the best sitcom,
right? Who's your Weekend Update host? Who, if you had to pick one?
Oh shit. Hold on. Not Dennis Miller. Norm MacDonald.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Norm's one, yeah.
I pictured Norm's face and then thought, don't say Dennis Miller. Dennis Miller came out of my mouth.
It's probably a good toss-up between Norm and Nealon. Kevin Nealon was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Nealon is great.
I just love his comedy.
I just forget that he was a Weekend Update anchor for some reason.
But he would always just have those silly jokes. Like, in addition, 1 + 1 = 2 or something like, you know, something silly line like that.
I was just thinking whether or not I'm that much of a fan of sitting next to the bookshelf. Oh, I'm like, this is a book that I know is right there.
Yeah. But yeah, man, it's interesting how many people were cast members on that show that didn't pan out for them. And, like,
and then become huge.
Like even Robert Downey Jr. The whole year, that was a weird cast that year, but it's just strange to think about that he was a cast member on SNL. Like,
wasn't Joan Cusack on SNL briefly?
It was a lot of
everything. Sure, you know?
But it's that just goes to show one. It's you know, the dynamic of the people. There's the interpersonal relationships that are built in the cast was one, but then like it's just like. You can be funny, but learning how to be in a sketch is like, and that's what like they do a great job of finding guys that are and girls that are comedians who are some of that are actors. Like they all have a role and like and they figure out the way who is the skill this strong suit and this is their weakness or whatever, and they find a way to mix it all up and they make it work as a successful show. But you know, I
keep thinking of other people like Paul Appel. Paul Appel's great.
Yeah.
So many people.
So many of my favorite people only were there for like a season because they're still like super funny. They just couldn't make it work there.
Well, like, I know Larry David said he was like, everyone would stay up till 2 a.m. or whatever on Tuesday, or they'd stay like overnight until 6 a.m. or whatever and write sketches.
Yeah.
And he's like, I would just get all my stuff done and then go home and go to sleep. And he's like, I think they thought I disrespected their process. But like forever ago, I think it was Horatio Sanz was on Marin's show. And he was talking about because he, I guess, is of Mexican descent and speaks Spanish. He went down to help out with they were doing like a version of SNL in Mexico. And he was like, so then Tuesday night, everyone stays up until like 6 a.m. and we blah, blah, blah. And they were like, why don't we just work ahead by a day? He goes, I don't know. That's just how I always did it. They're like, that's dumb. We're not going to do that. He goes, well, and he's like, at that point was the first time I realized the only reason we did that was because everyone was on coke when they first started the show. And Lauren doesn't like changing his process. Right.
I was talking about Horatio. I think it was yesterday. It was mentioned We were listening to the radio and that Cutting Crew, I Just Died in Your Home. I think that's Cutting Crew, right?
Somewhere. I don't know.
Or whatever it is. But that song. Yeah. But it took me back to that Horatio Sands skit where they were like the wedding band. And he's like, Joshua Jackson, I think, was the host. And he's like, can you at least play us the song? Play the song we hired you for. And he's like, we just died in your arms. And then he's like, we don't know that song. That's the only one we know. And he's like, well, can you at least play the rest of it? That's all we know. Is like
that part of that one line.
And like, it was so silly.
It's funny how the stupidest stuff is what sticks in your brain right. forever.
Yep. But yeah, I'm a fan, even though they're like saying there's good years or bad years. But it's, I mean, I still enjoy the show and I still watch. And even like people rip on the new cast every year. They're always the thing, but
I never think the cast is the problem. Yeah. I think it's the not the premise. It's the political stuff is what is the most shared and the most like widely popular, and it's the most what I do not absolutely give a shit about at all.
Sure.
I think that is there's not a lot of shows that I just keep up with, like, and watch. Like, I'm usually like watching something that came out like a few years ago and finding it around to. Like this year I watched Hacks, which is amazing. If you haven't watched Hacks, it's phenomenal.
No, I haven't got to watch, but Adam Ray is become a friend of mine, and I know he made an appearance on there and like and shared a clip on socials, and I was just like, okay, this is something I could be into, and I just haven't sat down.
But like that and Girls Five Eva and like one other, Rutherford Falls, I think, which is like, I was trying to Liz, oh no, and the three Marvel shows so far, and I was like, this is the most shows I've ever caught up with as they're airing in probably like 10 years. Like it's been forever since I've actually kept up with more than like one show in a year, you know? So like SNL being however many episodes and it's not every week and it's on a weekend, I'm like, that's a big ask for me, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Before the DVR, there was all sorts of stuff I missed. I always catch it on most of the stuff I ever watched was on when they used to run them on Comedy Central and stuff. Like, catch all the old replays and things. But
Comedy Central sometimes on the DVR, or like I used to have a DVR, and we don't anymore. But a few years ago, whenever Nikki Glaser's show was airing, I got like really into it. I was like, this is great, and I DVR'd them all, and I went to watch them, and they all started like halfway through the episode because like.
Time, yeah,
their reruns offset by 15 minutes sometimes.
Yeah,
and then the DVR doesn't know it, right? And so I was like, I was gonna watch this whole season, but I hope I'm not the reason it gets canceled because I didn't watch everything I taped.
Damn it, Jeremy, we were counting on.
They needed one more viewer in St. Louis, right. Someone that doesn't even have a Nielsen device.
It's so cool to see her career become what it is. And
I was at the Funny Moon a couple weeks ago, and she was doing a karaoke party in the back room.
Okay.
Back street. And I ended up going in there because I had to get home. But somebody went into the bathroom before, like right before my set, and I heard her rapping Wet Ass Pussy. I was like, that is 100% her voice. Yeah. I was just laughing so hard because she was going for it, but she still sounds like a white girl that grew up in St. Louis.
Yeah,
it was very good.
Yeah, yeah. She's coming to the factory soon.
Oh yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's really cool. I'm just like, just crazy stuff. You know, her and Greg and Tommy Jonigan and so many of these people I like watched getting their start and stuff, and like, and so cool to see them, their careers do what they do. So but yeah, man, I love it. But yeah, man, Jeremy, this has been a lot of fun, man. It's a great time hanging out, and I'm glad we made this happen tonight, and been long overdue. So
yeah, definitely, this is fun.
Yeah, it was a good just, I don't know,
I like your Nicolas Cage background on your phone.
Oh no, that's Matt Bosler.
I only saw it for like a quarter of a second.
The forehead make you think it's Nick Cage, but that's my arch nemesis, Matt Bosler. So, yeah. That guy makes me laugh. He's pretty silly.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah. You can find details about all this show, send stuff on the Heavy Anchor, RSVP to those events on the Facebook page and everything, and come on out again on June 25th and see Welcome Back Comedy Show. And yeah, definitely. You can find Jeremy on
Twitter at Jeremy Helwig, Instagram it's at Helwig Jeremy. It looks like I don't post at all. That's because I only really post when I'm doing comedy or traveling, and I didn't do that for 14 months. But now I'm back. Now I'll start using it.
Yeah.
And Facebook, but I don't like just adding random people. Sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, man. And hopefully we'll get you back on the road, like you're saying, getting to travel a little more, doing some of that, and getting out to see some of these fine folks around the country. So
yeah, definitely.
That'd be cool, man.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks, buddy.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. This is fun.
Yeah, man, absolutely. We'll do it again soon, hopefully.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
All right, that's it. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.